I'm saying this is his Bible, but it was mine. Hallelujah. I want you to get your Bibles out because we're going to go to the Word of God. And tonight I'm going to bring you some things that are going to set your life free. I believe that if we are in the body, we should be free. How many believe that whom the Son sets free is free indeed? I've been preaching this word for nearly 10 months. God thrust it into my spirit at the end of November. And I've been preaching, what is the prayer of faith? Because we have too many of the saints of God that are living defeated, sick, lives that should be on the top of the mountain. But tonight we're going to go to the mountain. Hallelujah. Look at you. Look at somebody sitting next to you at home if there's anybody there.
Bishop, come on, darling.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for what God has for you tonight? Hallelujah. But I'm believing that there are going to be miracles done in this house. You that are watching by way of television, I want you to call somebody because tonight lives are going to be changed. Look at your neighbor and say, lives are going to be changed tonight. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated here. You that are home, get your Bibles out because we have a word from the Lord for you tonight. The word that I'm going to bring to you tonight, I don't even know what here is in the Bible. Carmen was saying this is his Bible. It was. It was mine. Hallelujah. I want you to get your Bibles out because we're going to go to the Word of God. And tonight I'm going to bring you some things that are going to set your life free. I believe that if we are in the body, we should be free. How many believe that whom the Son sets free is free indeed? I've been preaching this word for nearly 10 months. God thrust it into my spirit at the end of November. And I've been preaching, what is the prayer of faith? Because we have too many of the saints of God that are living defeated, sick, lives that should be on the top of the mountain. But tonight we're going to go to the mountain. Hallelujah. Look at somebody sitting next to you at home if there's anybody there. If it's not, talk to yourself and say, you're coming out tonight. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Mark 11th chapter and in verse 23. While you're turning there, I want you to realize that the kingdom of God is an order ruled by laws. Now, I want you to get that in your spirit because we're going to go someplace tonight. That the kingdom of God is an order ruled by law. And we're reading here in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, and in verse 23, we're reading about a law. Jesus said, if you'll go up one line, it'll be in the red letter. Jesus said, have faith in God. And then verse 23, he began to give us the law. You know, Christianity is called the law of confession. That means that you must confess that you have a thing before you possess a thing. That is law. So Jesus is saying here, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That is law. The law is we have what we say. Well, first off tonight, I'm going to set the devil free. Because we have given way too much power, way too much glory, way too much praise to the devil. When the Word of God tells us he was defeated at Calvary, when Jesus cried out, it is finished, he done the work. The Bible says that all that we have to do as children of God, because we've already been given a measure of faith, he says all that we have to do is believe God. He said all things are possible to them that believe. So the believing is left up to us. But we're going to talk tonight about the power of life and death that's in your tongue. See, the reason that some of you at home are living defeated lives, oh, you're saved, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you believe the Word of God, but the reason that you're defeated is not because of the devil. Oh, I know that you're saying that it is, but it's not because of the devil. The Bible says that I set before you life and death. He said, I set before you good and evil. He said, the power of life and death is in my tongue. So it's not the devil that's given me so much problem. It's what's between these little pearly gates that's in my mouth that is defeating the people of God today. See, we have people, you know, we talk good when we go to church. But when we get home, we are defeated. We're not living what we believe God for. So tonight we are going to go someplace, and I'm going to set you free as I set the enemy free. Because the devil has no power over a child of God. Did you hear what I'm saying? He has no power. Do you think that God in His sovereignty would come down and send His Son to this earth, die on a cross, and raise from the dead, choose you to be part of the body of Christ, cleanse you by the blood of His Son Jesus, and then just say, run, Forrest, run! The devil's out to get you. No, He said, I gave you power over all the power of the enemy. And He said, nothing by any means shall harm you. He said, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. He said, no weapon that the devil has can touch one of my children. So what we must understand is who we are because of whose we are. But the power of life and death is in our time. Now we're going to talk about some laws of God. Because, you know, we have 30,000 promises that are in the Word of God, and we love to quote those. We've got our little promise boxes that pulls out our promises. And, you know, we like those little promise boxes because they give us the truth of God. But, you know, just like in 1 John, where he said that whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive. See, that's in your little promise box. But the last part of that message is because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. That's the way we mess up right there. Oh, we claim the promises of God. We want the promises of God, but we understand that there are laws, principles, precepts, standards, orders that we have to abide by if we're going to get anything from God. Well, the way that Satan snares most of us is because he knows the laws of God better than we know the laws of God. And so what we've got to understand is that when we say something, Satan wants to snare us by our words. The Bible said we're destroyed not because of the devil, but because of the lack of knowledge. Because of the lack of knowing. That word means ignorance. It means not that you're stupid, but it just means that you're ignoring the information that's available to you. The Word of God, that's the reason Satan wants to keep you out of the Word of God, is because when you find out who you are, he knows that he's defeated. Now let me show you how the Word of God works. Now, Satan knows the law. Now I'm going to come out here in the audience, and if y'all just to help me, can y'all get me? Hallelujah. Now let me show you how Satan works. The way that Satan works, he deceives the same way that he deceived Eve. Because he has no power, only lies, because he's the father of lies. So he deceived Eve by lying to her and deceiving her. So that's the same weapon that he uses on God's children today. So what he understands is the law of God, because God is the God of justice, and the Word of God we just read says that we have whatsoever we say. So Satan knows that. So what Satan has to do, he has to tell you a lie. What's your name, brother? Tom. So here is the enemy. He comes over to Tom. And so what he wants to do, Tom, is deceive you. So he tells you a lie, but before he can ever get law to go in order, you have to say the lie. You have to first believe the lie and then confess the lie. See, the way the devil does, he'll go over to Tom, and he'll say, Tom, your daddy died with a heart attack in his 50s. And now you know that you're just about there, and you know no change will happen. You know that a numbness that you've got in your arm, so you know that's heart attack material. So Tom begins to think, oh my God, fear comes on him. That's what the devil sends, is fear, the spirit of fear. So Tom, that in order for him to, for the devil to be successful on Tom, Tom has to say what he believes. So Tom goes over here, is this your wife? Here is wife, and he tells the wife, oh, you know, I've got pains, and I'm about the age that my daddy had it, and you know, I've had a fear that I'm going to die with a heart attack. So he begins to tell her all the lies that Satan told him. So Satan immediately goes over to the throne of God, and he says, God, you know that you're a God of justice. And Tom just said, because he believes that he's going to have a heart attack. And you said that whatsoever he saith, he shall have. So the Satan is loose to give you what you say. Do you understand how we are defeated? My God, we ought to realize that the power of life and death is in our tongue. What do you say? What's wrong with your world? What's wrong with your life? Then you need to look at what you've been talking about, because it's the power of life and death is in your words. My God, hallelujah. Praise to the Lord. Another law is that we must have a vision. Without vision, we perish. And the enemy wants to kill your vision. I know some of you that are listening tonight, you know that God called you to do a mighty work, but it seems like that it's not going to come to pass. It seems like the enemy has defeated you on every hand. But let me tell you about vision. If God has given you a vision, he has given you the equipment to bring it to pass. Now in 1985, and as Paul was talking earlier about the battle that I had with my breast in 1986, but let me show you how God does. God is just like a movie producer. He will produce your life. He's already been to the end of your life, so he knows the end from the beginning. So he knows that he just shows you just a little preview of what you've already done. God is so smart, he's like these producers. When they show you a preview, they just show you the best, most exciting part of the movie. To try to get you in on it. And that's the way God does when he puts a vision in you. He don't show you the hell that you're going to have to go through to get to where God's taking you. But he shows you the best part of the vision. In 1985, a woman called me out of a group of people, about 300 or 400 people, and she called me out and she said, come up here, honey. And I walked up, and she was calling on the edge of that pulpit, of that platform, and she said, are you a preacher? Well, at that time, I would preach about 50 people, maybe 75. And she said, I've seen something. She said, when you were sitting back there, I've seen something. And God told me to tell you what I've seen. She said, I see you standing on the biggest platform I've ever seen in my life. She said, I seen you preaching. She said, I don't know where this place to be. She said, but it looked like an ocean of people to me. She said, and God says, if you'll hold on, that he's going to take you there. Well, that was beyond my comprehension. You know, I had a little church, about 200 people maybe, and preaching to an ocean of people. But in 1986, about 5 months after she gave me this prophecy, I found a lump in my breast. Oh, and I tell you what, for 3 days, I didn't eat, I didn't sleep, I didn't do nothing, because I had 2 sisters die with breast cancer. And I just knew that the enemy had attacked my body. And so I began to whine. I said, God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? I was just, oh, see my words, while I was talking. I said, why have you allowed this to happen to me, God? I said, God, I've been saved all my life. Lord, I was a virgin when I got married. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never drank liquor. Oh, God. That didn't move heaven. But after 3 days, my son came in and rebuked me. I've been preaching on faith for about 6 weeks. And he said, Mom, has it been words you've been saying, or do you believe what you've been preaching? See, there's times that there's going to have to come a test to what you say. Everybody believes that he's Jehovah Rapha, but he has killed. You need a healing. You believe that he's Jehovah Jireh until you need a miracle in your finance. But when he left that room, I stood up and I said, Satan, get out your little fact book and write this down. I didn't even need to say this. This is for somebody tonight. But this wasn't even part of what I was going to preach. But the Lord wants me to tell somebody that's out there without hope that you've got to hold on to your vision. Your vision is what's going to bring you out. Did you hear me? It's not what you're looking at in your circumstances, but it's your vision. You've got to see yourself whole. You've got to see yourself doing what God's called you to do. You know that your journey is not over yet. Defy the devil. Stomp your foot and say, I resist you, devil. You're a liar and the father of lies. I'm more than a conqueror. I am healed. I am whole. But my breath continued to get worse till it became as tall as mass. And then it began to bleed. The last 2 months, it began to bleed. And I was washing the blood out of my gown one day. Let me show you this. It wasn't because Darlene had been saved all of her life. It wasn't because I'd been a good mother, because I was a pastor's wife. But when I was washing the blood out of my gown on July the 21st, and I was, my tears were falling in that bloody water, I said, Father, if this breath walks and falls off into this water, as long as there's breath in my body, I said, I'll preach at your Jehovah's office. I heard him speak my name. He said, Darlene, now listen what he said. We're talking about the power of life and death in your tongue, and you have whatsoever you say. See, I said, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, because you continued in my word. See, the thing that the devil wants you to do is to waver. But he said, hold fast. He said, don't turn loose of your confidence. It has great recompense and reward. What you've got to do is get a hold of something and hold on to it until it becomes a reality. But he healed me that day. The blood stopped instantly. And within 3 days, this breath that was hard as a rock was as normal as the other breath. Because Jesus got a law that says, you have what you say. But see, believing God, when everything looks impossible, there is a wonderful story that I know about this man. There's books written about this man. But this is one of the greatest faith-building stories. His name was Tom Brooks, and he was from Berea, Kentucky. And Tom Brooks was in about 1940s. He got saved. He was a 19-year-old boy that didn't know how to read. And he told his mama, because he went to church one night and heard a preacher preach, that all things are possible to them that believe. He told his mother, he said, Mama, he said, I'm going to go to the woods, and I'm not coming out until God teaches me to read the book. His mama said, now, Tom, there are schools down here in Berea that will teach grown men like you how to read. And you don't have to do that. She said, now, you don't want to do that, honey. You don't want to go back there. Don't say that you're going to go back there and you're not going to eat or come out of the woods till God teaches you. She called the preacher. She said, Tom's went to the woods. He says he's not coming out until God teaches him how to read the book. Oh, my God, and she was so worried about her boy. But it just they said, in the book, I believe it was 7 or 8 days that he was in the woods. And she said every night he would make a fire. He'd hold the Bible up. And he'd say, with God, all things are possible. He didn't know how to read a word. But after 8 days, Tom held that book up and he began to read the 23rd Psalm. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, now, wait just a minute. The Lord taught him how to read because he believed God. But the greater miracle was the fact that when God called him to preach, Tom went home and told his mother. He said, Mom, he said, God called me to preach. And he told me to build a church and be the pastor of this church. She said, well, Tom, where in the world are you going to build a church? He said, well, I only own one piece of property, and that's the property Daddy left me when he died across the road. She said, said, Tom, have you looked at that property lately? She said, a village oak can't get up that mountain. He said, yeah, but Mom, I read where if you speak to a mountain, that God will move your mountain. My God, she said, I'm going back to the woods, and I'm not coming out until God moves my mountain. Of course, that's Mama's how we are. She said, no, Tom, that does not mean a literal mountain. That means if you got something in your life that you can't get over, that God will move it out of your way if you just speak to the mountain. He said, Mama, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said if you got a mountain and you speak to it, God would move the mountain. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you have got mountains in your life tonight. Oh, but you need to speak to it. You've got the authority to speak to it and tell it where to go. I forget how many days that Tom was in the woods. His mama had the pastor go and talk to him, trying to get him out of the woods. But I'm not coming out till God moves my mouth. I don't know how many days it was, but a knock came at Miss Brooks' door. The man stood there, said, can you tell me who owns that mountain? Now, this was documented in Berea, Kentucky. Said, can you tell me who owns that mountain? She said, my son does. He said, is there any way we can get a hold of your son? She said, no, sir, he's back in the woods, and I wouldn't know how to get a hold of him. He said, well, if you can just give him a message. He said, we've been for the last few years strip mining behind that mountain. And if your son will give us permission, we'll make that mountain as flat as this road. Oh, somebody needs to know that God is still God. And he said, we'll pay for his mountain. And his mountain paid for his church. Has anybody got a mountain in your life that you want to get over? Hallelujah. But you have what you say. See, the problem is with the children of God. And just like what Jan has went through. See, it's all about a test. It's all about a test so we can have a testimony. So why are you in an impossible situation tonight? The reason that you are in an impossible situation is because God can only get glory where man has to give up. That's the only place that God's going to give the glory. So if you are in an impossible situation where man has looked at you and says there's no way out, you're hopeless, your marriage will never get back together, you'll never get that job. Oh my God, do you understand? The Bible said you have what you say. What you say, girl? What have you been talking about? The Bible says, in the next verse, he said, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Does anybody have a need in the house? Does anybody have a need in their life? Well, I want to tell you, God's got it for you. And all you've got to do is believe, because there is a law that says that you have what you say. So we've got to watch. It's not the devil that is destroying you. It's the words that are coming out of your mouth. I don't care what the enemy brings your way. I want you to know today that God is able to keep you in whatever situation that you're believing God for. If you'll start your talking different. A few months ago, I started praying different for my daughter. My daughter was in California. I've done everything I could to get her to come home. I promised her everything, but the Lord changed my way of praying, and within 6 weeks, Paula, she was home, and now she's working in the ministry. You know why? It's because God changed the way that I was praying. I was praying, oh God, don't let the enemy destroy my daughter. God couldn't do anything because of the way I was praying. I was giving the devil power to destroy my child. But when I stood up and I said, my child is saved, I declared, I decreed that my daughter is saved. She's working in the ministry. So when you talk like that, heaven goes to running. So let's take an inventory. What have you been saying about yourself? Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Do you understand that when you say something about yourself, you need to get up in the mirror and look at yourself every morning and declare that you're a mighty child of God, that there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. All the devil needs to know that when you wake up, that there's an active child of God waiting to prove his hand. My God, we get up, we ran from the devil too long. But it's time we take that. What the devil has stolen from us. He's stolen your health. He stole your wealth. He stole your family. But it's time you start taking it back. How do you take it back? I'll tell you how. By declaring it. By decreeing it. He said, if you'll decree a thing, I will establish it. That means you've got to hold on and not waver, no matter what you see. Hold on. Hallelujah. Because you have what you say.
There is an anointing right now for the invention. Come on, darling.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for what God has for you tonight? Hallelujah. But I'm believing that there are going to be miracles done in this house. You that are watching by way of television, I want you to call somebody, because tonight,